And now, folks, from beautiful downtown San Francisco, where it smells of Ode to Poo-Poo, we present the Drake and Scott Podcast.
Oh, it's going to be one of those days, I think.
It's going to be a day that matches the smell of San Francisco?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, what I'm referring to is we started the show and then realized we weren't recording. Then we had to start over.
It was a good show,
We were really...
That's what happens when you're missing half the crew.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Last Tango in Mexico and all the ships at sea. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We're the best podcast you're not listening to. We talk about anything and everything on the show. And if you're not offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Home base is Radioslot.com. New episodes every Saturday at 7 at night. And then replays throughout the week. You can also hear us on Spotify, full show archive at briandrakebooks.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are. On today's show, riots in Mexico. Protesters demanding an end to corruption. Although it's probably not as big as you think. Trump had a bad week last week. He's starting to suck. GM wants to cut ties with China. And Nancy Pelosi's potential replacement wants to legalize pedophilia.
Ew.
Yeah.
No. Should we? No.
Well, his name is Wiener, you know.
Oh, so he's living up to his name.
Scott Wiener.
Oh. He's giving me a bad name.
That's right. We always start with the crazy on the way, silly things that happened to us on the day of recording or the days prior. What do you got, Scott?
Well, I was just about to leave and come here and realized I had a flat tire.
You had a flat.
Well, one of my cars had a flat
tire. Yeah, one of your cars.
Was brought to my attention. So I thought, I'm going to go ahead and get the tire repaired, you know, patched or whatever. No big deal. Take a few minutes. Nope. Mr. Scott, your tread's too thin. We can't legally repair this tire.
Oof.
Yeah. And if you're going to get a new tire, you might as well get the rest of them changed. What do you mean? Said, well, look at the tread on one is bad because the tread on all of them is bad. Well, what's that? Like $100 a tire or something? You know, I get in and out of there for like $400? No. They want a Giesel from me.
Yep.
You know what a Giesel is?
It's a grand, yeah.
It's a grand, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. $1,000 for four tires.
Jeez, I thought I had it bad. My Corvette, full set of tires on the Corvette is $2,000.
Ooh. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I don't have a Corvette.
Yep.
$1,000 for tires. Is it going to last me like 10 years? Like, no, just... Although 80,000 mile warranty, I guess that maybe that would be 10 years. 80,000 miles, that's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah. I mean, if you're commuting like I used to San Francisco every day, it goes by pretty quick. But
your tread's not going to last that long.
Right.
So it's a worthless warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get 10 to 15,000 into it, and the tread's going to get low, and then you're down for another Giesel.
Yeah. If it weren't for our cars, we'd be rich. A friend of mine said that a long time ago, and I...
Just call me Giesel Scott.
Yeah, I think he was correct.
No, one of my kids was complaining about it. You know, we need better cars and more consistent, reliable. I was like, wait a minute. Tires are a normal maintenance thing. They just, after a while, and especially if you're driving a lot, you just got to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
It's never solved. You just continue to manage it. So,
yep.
Had to do a little educating of one of the offspring.
Well, I have a funny one. And it's about cops again. So,
oh, no.
So, you know.
Have you made friends with them yet?
No, I haven't. Once a month, my mother and I will get together for breakfast. And the other day, we stopped at a new place. I tried a new restaurant in Livermore called The Brick. It's been there for a while. And I decided to take my Saturn, my other car. And the other car is the old one. And it has a couple of big cracks in the windshield. I mean, ticket-worthy cracks. And I need to get that replaced eventually. So I decided to take that to go meet my mother. And I drove down Railroad Avenue. Well, apparently the Livermore Police Department was having some sort of traffic crackdown. And there were more motorcycle cops than I've seen all year in one place.
Did they get you?
No. Well, not at first. So I'm driving along. I'm driving through this gauntlet. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope they don't see the cracks. And I get to the restaurant and everything's okay. And I park, I go inside. I'm sitting in a booth that faces the front window so I can see into the parking lot and I can see my car. Suddenly a motorcycle officer pulls up and parks right next to it. And I thought,
started sweating.
Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, they did see it. And they tracked me all the way here. And then he's out there for a long time, not doing anything. He's on his phone. And then another cop pulls up. And I thought, what, they needed to call for backup to write a ticket for a cracked windshield?
No, they have a tracker on your car. They know where you are. That's why they're all showing up at your car.
I guess so, yeah. So then the two start talking. They're looking at my car. And I thought, just get it over with. What are you guys doing?
Probably they're like, hey, I haven't seen a Saturn in years. Yeah. Who owns this vintage?
Yeah, I know. And then a third cop pulls up. And it's like, what do they need three for? You know?
Trifecta.
And then a fourth one. And then they all come into the restaurant. I thought, oh, well, I've had it now. Who drives the Saturn? You know? Well, no, they go to a table in the back. And then...
Please tell me they ordered donuts.
No, I don't know what they ordered. But
that would have been the one thing I would have been paying attention to.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was looking at my car and the windshield. Did they put anything underneath the wipers? And it's like, well, I can't see anything. And then more cops show up. And they're coming in pairs.
A convention.
Yeah, my mother finally pulls up and arrives, and she says, gee, is this police headquarters? There's like half a dozen motorcycles outside.
Now, tell me she showed up and you found out she's a cop too?
No, she's not.
Oh, she didn't have a uniform on?
No, she didn't.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I think they're all having breakfast over there in the corner, but I got two big cracks in my windshield. I'm not getting out of here without a ticket. You know, we either have to leave first or wait for them to go. And my mother's like, just calm down. And, you know. So... there had to have been 20 of them in the restaurant all told. And by the time, you know, we were finished, they were still there. So I thought, okay, I can slip out of here before they see me. And then because I'm an idiot, I get to the car. There's no ticket on the window. I get in, I'm behind the wheel. I turn the car on. I start plugging in my phone and selecting my music. I'm sitting there for another 2 or 3 minutes. It's like, I'm right here, you punks. Come out and get me. And they didn't. And some pucker factor there for a little bit because I thought I'm seriously not getting out of here without getting in trouble.
Wow. And you were tempting fate too.
Yes.
I love that you're still being parented by your mom.
How am I still being parented
she had to tell you to calm down. She's still looking after you.
Well, yeah. She's just settle down. They're just having breakfast. And it's like.
Once a mom, yeah. Always a mom, right?
Well, they always still treat me like I'm 10 anyway. So, yeah.
Well, you're playing hide and seek with the cops.
I know. It's like I had to bring the car that has a problem.
Yeah, a 10-year-old game.
I should have brought the Corvette, and then I wouldn't have been worried. All right, so my laptop just crapped out. I have no battery and no charger, so you're going to have to take over the article situation here.
Excellent.
So why don't we start with Mexico, because we had
Mexico
some interesting activity there over the weekend or last weekend.
This one from the Daily Mail. They had riots in Mexico City.
A very small amount of riots, yes.
Well, it depends on who you talk to.
Uh-huh. Go ahead and read some of the story, and then I will read you the comment of a friend of mine that lives in Mexico that has a different perspective.
Well, this is from Saturday. Rioters stormed the barricades outside the presidential palace in Mexico City as an anti-cartel protest descended into chaos. Mobs of frustrated, mostly Gen Z Mexican protesters traded blows with cops and screamed slogans about how corruption and cartel killings have spiraled out of control in their country. Thousands of people filled the streets. Thousands?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any videos?
I saw pictures.
Yeah, I saw pictures.
It looked pretty crowded.
Hundreds, maybe a thousand.
I think it's funny. We closed the borders and suddenly the Mexicans start fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, well, it's the the nation's capital and the official residency of President Claudia Sheinbaum, the progressive politician who took office last October, and first female president of Mexico.
And she's also Jewish. How do you get a Jewish Mexican?
Is this the beginning of a joke?
No, it's just a question. It's like, I didn't know there were any in there.
Well, they want her to... clamp down on cartels and mm-hmm. illegal activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they had riots is because the last mayor who did something like that in another town was making a big stink.
Mm-hmm.
and they went in and shot him 7 times.
Yeah, I know.
In a Day of the Dead celebration.
Yeah, you don't mess with the cartels in Mexico.
Right out there in public.
Yeah, I know.
So it makes sense to me that Ms. Sheinbaum doesn't want to say anything about the cartels because she saw what just happened to the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly.
You learn from your experiences, right?
So when I first saw this, I was like, oh, we can make Mexico great again. And it's like, well, okay, well, let's see what happens. And then my buddy Russell Blake, B-L-A-K-E, he's an author, one of my writer pals. You should go to Amazon and buy all of his books. He lives in Mexico. And he put on Facebook, I'm being asked by a few people what's really going on with the, quote, violent protests in Mexico City. Here's my take. He says, the population of Mexico City is 27 million. Estimated size of the protest, 17,000. So less than a tenth.
What?
Yeah, so less than a tenth of 1% of the population. It was billed as Gen Z against cartel violence and government corruption. Okay, who is actually for cartel violence and government corruption? Nobody really. But young, idealistic, and mostly unemployed folks who aren't happy about rising prices or insecurity or all the rest are the most likely to protest. This protest was peaceful, as in nonviolent.
Not sure that...
Well, that's his next point here. A handful of Antifa wannabes decided to try and turn it into a violent confrontation between cops and themselves. There's always a few in every crowd, even in Mexico. Needless to say, it didn't go well.
Well, they were trying to breach police barricades around the palace.
Yeah.
The authorities responded with shooting tear gas out into the crowd, causing many people to run in different directions.
That's right.
You ever been tear gassed?
No.
I think I would run... before I got tear gassed. Police say it lasted for hours and eventually order was restored around the palace. But the police say police chief Pablo Vasquez said 20 people were arrested.
Okay.
20 people.
Yeah.
Charged with battery and assault and robbery. They stole something?
I guess.
I probably stole some of these protective shields and helmets that the cops are wearing in this photo.
Could be. Russell continues, mainstream media is making it sound like this was a massive upheaval against the government. Nope, less than a tenth of a percent isn't exactly a majority. And of that, probably 0.001% of the protesters decided this was their moment of glory.
Well, I don't know.
It's not exactly a revolution, he says.
Yeah, wait a minute, though. We might be measuring the wrong thing.
Really?
Yeah, what percentage of the population? How about what percentage of the police were hurt? Because this story is saying 40 officers were sent to the hospital. 60 officers were injured, 40 of which went to the hospital for treatment.
Hmm.
So what percentage of the police were hurt?
That's a good question.
I could call that massive. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Russell continues, this is just business as usual on a long weekend in Mexico.
Let's ask the hospital.
Yeah.
40 cops show up and they all need treatment all at the same time. I bet you the hospital had some opinions as to whether it was a riot and whether their percentage was high enough to call it violent.
Yeah, says the media is blowing it up. They want it to sound like it's some sort of massive revolution, and he doesn't think so.
Yeah, well, it was outrage over the November 1st assassination of Carlos Manzo, mayor of a crime-ridden town in western Mexico. And that's what's on the mind of the protesters. So,
well, I thought that was a good point, counterpoint. So I.
Oh, wait, you're anti-police.
I am not anti-police.
Yeah, no, that's why you're playing this thing down.
No. I'm not anti-police. I just don't like police.
Let's clarify this. It's police in general, not just Mexican police. You just don't like police at all. It doesn't matter where they're from.
Yeah, they are tools of the state.
You're an equal opportunity officer hater.
Yeah, but my original plan on this was to say, hey, we're going to make Mexico great again. We're going to overthrow the corrupt government, et cetera, et cetera. I got my buddy saying, no, that's really not what's going on, and someone's just trying to blow this up. So I thought it was an interesting, like I said, point counterpoint, and we can leave it at that. Although those injuries do seem significant, so maybe it was a little bit bigger. He doesn't live in Mexico City, so maybe it was.
Well, if you go to the Daily Mail and look at some of these pictures, there's a lot of people.
Hmm.
And there are a lot of police officers.
Well, I guess all we can do is see if this continues.
Yeah,
or start something.
If I'm there and I see all this going on, I'm leaving. I'm gonna find a restaurant. Let's go have a taco.
Find some tequila.
Well, that's an option.
Yeah.
Might make it worse, actually.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Okay. So, good job, Mexico.
All right, we are up on a break, and we'll be back after this.
Oh, this is a video.
Yeah, there is some video there, but I don't know if you're not plugged into the board, so we can't play it. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach. No Ziggy, no Coach today on Radioslot.com. It's just me and Scott like it used to be.
Yeah, well, they got extra invites to do more presentations at more universities.
That's right.
It's not just Harvard that wants to.
Ziggy is taking the Lahore Vajistan routine and going on the road.
Do we have to repeat that name?
I think it's funny. So, next on the list, we have, I have some issues with Mr. Trump over the last week or so.
Join the crowd.
Yeah. So he comes out with suggesting a 50-year home mortgage, a $2,000 tariff dividend for people making under $100,000. And then he wants to expand H-1B to bring more Chinese in because apparently the United States lacks the talent.
Well,
and it's like, what?
We don't lack the jobs. We just want to give the jobs to somebody else.
Apparently. And it's one of these head-scratching moments. Like, what are you doing?
Well, he says in the article, he says that we have to bring in talent. We need some more talent here.
No, we don't. We got the talent. We just got to train the talent.
Well, so there you go. We got to make sure he knows that we have talent here, and let's get them employed before we start bringing in people from other countries.
Well, exactly, because once we bring them in, they're not leaving. These people don't leave. And bringing them in from China is just like, you know, just let the commies in, because they're coming in with a subversive agenda. They're being told by the home country, you're going to do XYZ to undermine what we have here. No, they're not coming here to be Americans. They're coming here to be Chinese communists. And the 50-year mortgage, you realize 25 years of that will be paying interest? You'll never own that house.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most dumbest idea I've ever heard. The only people who like that idea are the bankers.
Well, sure. They're
going to be giving the loans out. It's like, ooh, we're in the money now.
Well, it's the old adage, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Well, exactly. And there's a lot of that going on. And it's been a year already. And it's not like I'm getting off the Trump train, but it's like, dude, we didn't hire you to do this. We hired you to fix things, and you're talking about making it worse.
Yeah, I think he just likes to troll people and keep the controversy alive. He can't make up on his mind if he wants people to stay or if he wants to send them away.
Well, exactly.
Bring them in or send them away. He just, as long as he jumps back and forth on that regularly, he'll keep people, you know, on their heels. And
I guess, you know, now I don't.
Well, this interview thing, he doesn't even talk about this for very long.
No.
He moves on to complaining he needs to sue the BBC because they edited his January 6th,
right,
you know, speech. And
prior to that, he talks about we're going to fix prices. And it's like, well, how are you going to do that? It's like, no.
Then he goes into how Thanksgiving costs less now because of him.
Does it, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
I mean, he's talking about there's cheaper turkeys.
I get, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm really kind of.
I think he's an expensive turkey.
Yeah, you know, and of course, now if Coach was here, he'd be calling me a libtard or something like that. Like, it's like you can't step off the Christian Conservative Incorporated reservation. But no, I'm a little frustrated with him, and I hope this turns around very quickly. There has been a lot of blowback on it, so hopefully he's getting the message. Unless he's just listening to his tech bros and J.D. Vance and his tech bros. And anyway.
Yeah.
So mini rant.
Did you get it all out?
I think I got it all out. Yeah.
I mean, because there were no police to complain about in this story.
No, there weren't. You know, and it's like, it's not like I'm 100% passionate about this rant. It's like, you know, it was a bad week. And, you know, that's not enough blowback. You can change things. But
okay. Okay. Maybe it was a bad week.
Mm-hmm.
But we did reopen the government.
Yeah. And the Democrats kind of got slimed for it. Yeah, I think because a lot of liberals accusing them of caving in to the Trump administration. And
well, you have to call it a cave because nothing changed.
Yeah.
It's the same deal that was originally
right
vetoed by the Dems. And they just waited, what was it, 40-something days?
46 days, yeah.
46 days. And they got nothing added to the deal.
They got nothing added. They got
the original deal that they complained about in the first place. So 46 days of what? Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not a good look.
Well, we had starving kids and yada, yada, yada. And
it's almost like they're admitting they were wrong.
Yeah. You know, and the whole thing with the SNAP benefits ending, it's like everybody was talking about all these families that are going to starve. And it's like, well, wait a minute. How come there are so many families taking benefits? Should we address that or talk about that? But everybody didn't want to have that conversation.
Well, it's an interesting video. It's less than 7 minutes long. So, mm-hmm.
And I only wanted to play one clip of it, but the dummy forgot his charger.
He's interviewed by Laura Ingraham,
yeah,
from Fox. So you know how this is going to be slanted.
Well, yeah, I didn't see that she was helping him at all. I mean, Laura Ingraham's not a very good interviewer anyway. But it's, you know,
I don't think anybody that interviews Trump is a good interviewer. He just takes over.
Yeah,
and he starts talking about whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah, that's a good point. But no, Laura...
He's a true politician. He stays on his topic, and right. He can care less what you ask.
Right, right. But Laura, in particular, is not very good at that. And the comments he made, though, she didn't need to be, because he kind of just hung himself with some of the things he said. So,
yeah.
What do we have next?
Well, we do have... You got your women behaving badly later.
Yeah, right. Oh, we got
Scott. But the GM wants to cut ties with China?
Yes.
As a source of parts?
Yes. And this is going to be a bit of a process, but go ahead and...
General Motors.
Yeah, go ahead and read that one.
Has decided they are anti-Chinese.
Okay, that's... I almost spit my water out.
It's not loading.
Oh, no.
It got...
Is it ad blocked or...
I don't know if it's ad block. Oh, here we go. We finally got it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Detroit General Motors has directed several thousand of its suppliers to scrub their supply chains of parts from China. Four people familiar with the matter said, reflecting automakers' growing frustration over geopolitical disruptions to their operations. Executives are telling suppliers they should find alternatives to China for their raw materials and parts, with the goal of eventually moving their supply chains out of the country entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So they've set a deadline of 2027 for some suppliers to dissolve their China source ties. Interesting.
It would be nice that prior to 2027, we somehow build up a new supply chain here in this country.
Well, I mean, the bigger issue is we get too many things from China, so we're China dependent.
Yeah.
As a country.
Exactly.
And to balance that, I mean, it would be a safe place for us to be, mm-hmm. so that we're not dealing with a monopoly.
Right.
Right. Monopolies are illegal in this country.
That's true.
So,
But China is very cheap. So we're getting, you know, so parts may start, well, they will be a little more expensive, which means that cost will be added to vehicles, et cetera. But cars are already quite expensive as it is.
Well, it is.
You know.
But cheaper parts break faster.
That's true.
So... let's get better quality things that last longer, and mm-hmm. let's pay a little more for them, and let's be a little more independent as a country.
Well, hopefully.
And stick to our policy of monopolies are bad.
That's right.
Regardless of the cost.
Right, right. But I did see this as a sign of something good that Trump was influencing, in that you know, getting manufacturing and that sort of supply away from overseas and bringing it back here. Of course, I don't think the article talks about bringing it back here, but the assumption is...
No, it just talks about finding other sources, but they want to get away from rare earth bottlenecks and computer chip shortages.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's getting them in trouble.
Right.
Mostly raw material stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Automakers' suppliers have responded to Trump's push for investment and jobs by taking early steps to expand U.S. factory work. So there it is.
Yeah.
They do want to do more here.
That would be nice. More jobs for everybody.
More jobs.
Yeah. And worst case, you know, we get a bit of a hiccup because we have to train the new workforce. But I mean, that's probably worth it.
Oh, you mean we would have more skilled labor in our country?
Yeah. And how long do you think it would take to train up a workforce like that? 6 months? A year?
Some of it might be faster. Some of it will be longer.
Yeah.
I mean, every part is going to be different.
Right.
Depends on how technical it is.
So my point is, I mean, stretching it out to 2027 to end the Chinese sourcing, that would give them plenty of time to get Americans trained up to manufacture those parts. And then we're made in America again.
Well, true. And they're saying that the efforts are meant to target parts and materials that go into cars that are actually built in North America.
Mm. So that could also include Canada and Mexico then, which is fine.
Well, it gets us out of that monopoly.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
All right.
So, I can complain about Trump, but then again, here we go. Here's a positive effect of his current policies. And
yeah, we'll take see. That.
We'll see. But yeah.
They're doing a preemptive strike. Who knows if he would have followed through on it or not.
We'll see. Yeah.
On again, off again with the tariffs, though, seems to
imply
he's going to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Solving something that was going to be a problem. All right. Do you want to get into Nancy Pelosi's
replacement? We're going to need more time on that one because he's
got other Scott.
Yeah, the Scott Wiener. We are up on a break though, so let's take that and then we'll talk about this chap. He's a bit disturbing. Back after this. Craig and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Ziggy and Coach absent today.
During the break, I was reading another one of these potential articles. We don't have the actual link to it, but Trump apparently said that he wants to start denying visas to fat people.
Oh, yes. We might save that for next week.
That means I can never leave.
Well, no.
Because I'll never get back.
No, this is for people coming in.
I know, but they might get confused and think that...
Well, yeah, ICE apparently... tried to deport a Native American, a real genuine Indian recently. I don't have that story either, so they might make the mistake.
Are you telling me ICE is not perfect?
No, they're not.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wait, do they qualify as law enforcement under your...
Yes, they do.
Under your hate mongering?
It's not hate, it's just cautious dislike.
Oh.
It's just...
I don't know. I think I might need to ban you from social media for a while.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good idea anyway.
But they might do it to you in Denmark.
Right. Well, that's because... Well, no. They in Denmark, they passed something where nobody under 15 can have access to social media.
I know, but not, when does it stop? No. It's like, we're gonna ban anybody under 15 and Brian Drake. Because he acts like he's under 15.
That's right.
His position on police force...
No, but the fat people visa thing, I kind of exaggerated that a little bit, but yeah, they are looking at weight standards or something, and it's like if you're over a certain poundage, then yeah, you it's not that you can't come in, it's just that there's we'll get to it. I don't, it's like I said, my laptop battery died. I can't reference it myself.
This might be one of our better shows then.
Well, I guess, yeah. I feel like I'm dangling out in the wind here. You know, you've got access to all the stuff.
Well, Denmark's government announced on Friday an agreement to ban all access to social media for anyone under the age of 15.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not a bad idea.
Definitely not freedom of speech.
Yeah, but... I mean, do you really want people that, you know, younger people seeing some of the garbage that's on the internet right now or on social media?
I want dad to get involved.
I see.
I'm a libertarian at heart. I just taking away freedoms. Where does that end?
I know, but I kind of don't disagree with that.
I mean, a country gets to decide how they want to govern.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to decide whether I'd agree with it or not.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
this would never fly in the States.
No, absolutely not.
Right?
No.
Born free.
Yeah, sort of.
Free as the wind blows.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to Scott Wiener and talk about his stuff. Can we not?
I mean, just...
But no, it's important because... It's important because it's Pelosi's daughter and this fellow and probably some others that are going to be trying to get her seat. And Scott Wiener in particular is really on the extreme end of things.
Well, and you said Nancy Pelosi's replacement.
Potential replacement.
Yeah. He's likely to replace her. But,
yeah, well, it's going to be him or the daughter or a player to be named later.
Oh, my goodness. You seen the picture of him?
Yeah.
I think he's gone to coach in Ziggy's class. Look at that outfit. Wow, it's like a shimmery,
yeah,
multicolored.
He kind of wears the stereotype, doesn't he?
I think it's Joseph's coat of many colors.
Okay.
My goodness. Let me see. Oh, there's a bunch of filler on this. 2 weeks ago, Wiener announced he was running for Pelosi's seat, and now Pelosi's hanging up her hat after 40 years in Washington. It's finally happening.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, too late. I mean, untold amount of damage he's done.
And he's apparently similar to this Mamdani guy. He's a frightening face of the new Democratic Party. Wants to let children get transgender surgeries. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to let the state take gay kids away from their parents to legalize pedophilia. Wiener makes even the most radical member of Congress look like a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... I there's not a part of this that I can agree with.
No, of course not. Like I said, he's the extreme of the extreme.
Taking kids from parents. I thought the Democrats were against that.
Well, this is...
You separate kids from your parents?
They want to take kids away from conservative parents who are trying to keep their kids from being gay or something.
Oh, so you can do it to conservatives, but you can't do it to immigrants.
Right.
Wow. What if the immigrant child is trans?
I don't know.
Then can we take him?
I don't know.
From the parents? It's just a slippery slope. You start taking away freedoms from people.
And I know.
It's going to go bad places.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, Wiener found it gross that San Francisco women turned up at his annual Halloween event to protest his transgender policies. And he called the late Charlie Kirk a vile bigot. Wow. He's anti Ron DeSantis, Tesla, Elon, calls all of them bigots. And he calls Richard Grenell a self-hating gay man.
Who's Richard Grenell?
I'm not sure. He's a Republican diplomat.
Oh, okay.
Apparently we're supposed to know who he is. I mean, if it's a Republican gay man, we should know who he is. That's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pro gay porn and drag queens. And this article just goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's,
I want to go back to his outfit. That might be the thing I like about him the most, considering what I've read.
Yeah. I've got it on my, I can actually access this stuff on my phone. I decided to try that. Yeah. It's some sort of a shimmery purple. I see yellow.
I think, does it have batteries? It might require batteries.
Probably, yeah. But he's been around for a while as a San Francisco supervisor, and now he's moving on up. And it's just like, can we just get somebody? Can we get somebody normal? Maybe Pelosi's daughter will be a better alternative. I mean, there's no way a Republican's going to win that seat. That's just asking for too much. But can we get a Democrat that is not bug house crazy?
Yeah,
just seriously. One.
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff I don't think I can even read out loud.
I understand
some of the festivals that he has promoted and mm-hmm. called beautiful, and the things that they allow to happen at those festivals and are encouraged to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Okay. Goodbye, Scott.
That's right.
Go away. Not good. The current San Francisco mayor is supposed to be a breath of fresh air.
I don't even know the person's name.
Yeah, someone was talking to me about him, sent me a link. He's supposed to be, he's Democrat, but he's very, he's sensible.
I see.
And they were pretty happy with some of the changes and things that he's doing. So,
well, I'm going to have to look him up.
I mean, if he can get the city to smell better. So eliminate some of those kind of things.
That would be nice, yeah. We didn't spend as much time on that as I thought. So let's talk about Trump not letting fat people into the country. And I'll take this one. It's from the New Republic. President Trump rejecting visas for fat people. The Trump administration has ordered visa officers to deny immigrants who are obese or have certain health issues And yet another instance of the president's strange obsession with fat people.
He does kind of enjoy calling people large.
Yeah, I guess so. All of this is based on the idea that they could take up domestic health care resources. The directive reads, you must consider an applicant's health, certain medical conditions, including but not limited to cardiovascular disease, respiratory disease, cancer, diabetes, metabolic disease, neurological diseases, can require hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of care. The announcement then goes on to mention obesity, stating that it can be connected to asthma, sleep apnea, high blood pressure, etc. Denying fat people from the U.S. because they might end up having health issues is incredibly broad, cruel, and unusual, says the New Republic. Visa applicants are already subjected to health screenings for infectious diseases like tuberculosis and required to have various vaccinations. So you can only come into the United States from overseas if you're skinny. Skinny and hot. We just want skinny and hot people here.
Let's give them H-1 visas.
That's right.
Is that considered talent?
Boy, probably.
I mean, he really does get himself in trouble.
Well, I mean, he does make a good point, especially if they're coming over here on the auspices of taking a vacation. And
you call it good? He wants to take away freedoms from a certain section of the population.
Yeah, but they're not that good. They're not Americans, though. They're visitors.
They're humans, though.
I don't care. They're not paying taxes here. They don't get to take advantage of our health care.
I think my citizen rights are kind of overlapping with human rights for me on this one. Didn't we used to
call that? You're a libtard.
Didn't we used to call that fat shaming? I don't know. Maybe because I resemble it too much.
You know, speaking of which, two of the biggest proponents of fat acceptance, Amy Schumer and Megan Trainor, have both jumped on Ozempic, and now they're skinny.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, as soon as Ozempic came along, fat acceptance went away.
But
if they're coming over here on the, to say they're on vacation, yet they're going to take advantage of free health care that they can find. You're not coming over here to do that. You're not coming over here to take advantage of our resources that our people pay for our people.
Well, let's deny that rather than deny the visa. I mean, if people want to come and they're talented and they're a little bigger. I mean, more is better. Well, right?
It would be good for the restaurant economy because certainly they're going to eat more.
I mean, there's advantages.
The 7-Eleven will sell more snacks.
We could get better research on overweight people if we had more overweight people to study. Okay. I mean, I don't want to volunteer for it.
Okay. So
let someone else be the guinea kids.
The guinea pig, yeah.
I can't speak today. So you see this six players got indicted or brought in for gambling scams in the NCAA?
We got a couple minutes, yeah.
Basketball players, six former or maybe even current at three different schools, New Orleans, Mississippi Valley State, and Arizona State, participated in gambling schemes that included game manipulation and sharing information with known bettors. Ooh.
This is like the third or fourth time a betting scandal in college or in school sports has come up. And I always knew there was like an underground betting system for those games. I'm surprised it's as widespread as it is, though.
We used to, ban gambling in a lot of ways. They found a way to get around it.
Yeah.
I mean,
until they got caught.
Yeah. They got, and Day-Day Hunter, DaQuavion Short?
I don't know.
Jamon Vincent, all players at New Orleans last season manipulated their performance for better purposes in seven games for betting purposes.
Can't we have basketball players named John Smith?
Hunter, that's a...
Oh, okay.
Although he's a basketball player. This other guy, DaQuavion Short, he's a basketball player, but his name's Short.
Okay.
We got to enjoy the lighter sides of some of this. Yeah, in seven different games, they attempted or allegedly lost games by more points than the spread at sportsbooks as part of the conspiracy with outside bettors. So they're point shaving. That's the technical term for it.
Well,
two players at Mississippi State, Valley State, that is. Ooh. And they were offered to throw money on January 6th.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
You know, I've always found it interesting.
I bet Trump was involved because it was January 6th.
Yeah, probably. I've always found it interesting, though, when you talk about point shaving and throwing games. Whenever we got the World Series, and you've got a total of, what, 6-7 games?
World right? Series? Seven.
Something like that.
Well, seven. Yeah, best of seven.
Right. Why do they, and the basketball championships, those are multiple games. They never end
in the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, they never end in three.
Not college.
Right, but they never end in three. They always go all the way to the end.
Well, you can't end in three when you play best of seven.
Okay. They never end short of seven.
Should we do a math class?
I was told there would be no math on this show.
No,
but they never end before the seventh game. They always go all the way to the end, and the conspiracy being that they're throwing games in order to extend the series so that they can keep selling tickets. That's the the minor conspiracy. Of course, now it's like they're throwing games so they can keep the betting active.
Yeah.
Sports is a lie. It's all a lie. They can win a best of seven and three if they really tried hard.
I'm sure you're going to say the cops are involved somehow. Now,
well, cops are probably in on it because they got protection.
Well, no. So do you like these cops that caught the cheaters? I'm trying to see how deep that rabbit hole goes.
I don't hate cops. I don't want to defund cops. They are a necessary evil, but they are also something to keep an eye on because they are ultimately tools of the state. They will do what the state tells them, and that is not necessarily in our best interest.
Wow.
So keep an eye on them. It's like, hey, good job. Be careful. My dad was a cop, but I'm watching you too.
So I sense a tinge of anti-government in there too.
That's a surprise.
You don't like the
state? Have you met me? How long have we been doing this show?
What part of government do you like then? You like immigration rules?
Well, I guess the roads are nice. You want
to enforce some of that.
We should probably have a military. I like the mail being delivered. Not much.
Not much.
Yeah.
Especially when they park next to you.
That's right.
Well, I feel bad for some of these guys. I mean, a couple of them went to Mississippi Valley State. I mean, my heart goes out to them.
Uh-huh.
You got to go to that school?
Well, we are up on our...
Kid's
up on
been our, called short his whole life.
And he's actually 7 feet tall. Yeah. Okay. We're up on a break. We'll be back with our final segment after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Our final segment, always my favorite segment because we get to talk about women behaving badly.
Oh, no. Am I reading this one or you?
No, I will read this one. I've got it on my phone.
Well, I was just thinking during the break, though, if my last name was Short and I had a son, I would name him Barry.
Barry Short.
Yeah, he would come into class. Barry Short? No, I'm not. I'm not Barry Short. Oh, you're not Barry Short? No, I'm Barry Short, but I'm not very short. I think it'd be fun to have some names like that.
Okay.
What are some other names? Email us. Drake and Scott.
Yeah, well, no, we don't need to give the email address. You can leave a comment on Spotify if you want.
Oh, there you go.
What
would you name your kid if your last name was Short?
Yeah.
I'd name him Two.
No, that's his rap name.
Too Short.
Yeah, okay.
Coming straight from Oakland.
All right, our final segment. We got women behaving badly and Scott's post-game wrap-up. Let's go to Florida once more, Hialeah, Florida. A woman was arrested early Thursday morning after police said she struck her boyfriend in the head with a glass bottle during an argument. It happened around 5:15 in the morning at a home near West 56th Street, according to the arrest report. And why is an ad coming up now? Oh, it's an American Eagle ad. How about that? We were talking about Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle ad on the Drake and the Deacon show. Last week. Speaking of which, if you tuned in expecting Drake and the Deacon, because I know we have a few new subscribers, we're going to do the next Drake and the Deacon in a couple of days. So that will show up on this channel. I'm just going to keep it on one, keep both shows on one channel until things get confusing. Police identified the suspect as 43-year-old Aylin Vargas Ginaret Officers arrived to find a man lying by a staircase, bleeding heavily. He told police his girlfriend had hit him with a glass bottle. Paramedics provided first aid, etc., etc. They found they had to follow a trail of blood through the apartment where they finally found Miss Jenneret. She told her boy she told cops her boyfriend of 8 months had been drunk and that she initially refused to let him into the house. She later changed her story several times, according to police. Police found a broken glass on the floor, blood stains, and signs that the scene had been cleaned. So she smacked him over the head, tried to clean up the crime, and now she's sitting in the Gray Bar Hotel. So Miss Aileen Vargas Jenneret from Hialeah, Florida, you are this week's winner of the Women Behaving Badly Award.
What's the thinking there?
I don't know. It's Florida. Who knows? You know, I find all the crazy stories in Florida. I always try to actively avoid Florida because of that. But it's where the best stuff comes out. And in her defense, maybe he deserved it. I don't know.
Well, if we had a segment called Men Behaving Badly, we'd never get to any other stories.
Well, that's probably true. But I'll let you do that one. I'll handle the women.
Well, Scott's post-game report today brought to you by Scott's Third Tee. Take freedom seriously. When we start taking freedom from people for whatever it is, even though it might feel good or you think it makes sense for a little while, you just open the door.
I know.
To taking freedoms from all these other
things. No, you're right. It's just, but there are, you know, a couple things that...
I mean, if you want to drive around with a cracked windshield, you should be allowed. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many cops show up and park next to you.
You know, they probably took one look at the car and the wreck that it is and said, hey, if this guy has to drive this, no wonder he can't afford to fix his windshield. Let's give him a break and go get pancakes.
Guy doesn't even have a manual transmission on his old Saturn with the cracked window.
No, it's a manual.
It's a manual?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 5-speed.
All right. So I think they felt bad for you. Yeah, we've got to stop making so many rules that we're taking away people's freedoms. It's just, and I think it actually ties into the GM story. When China supplies too much of our supplies, mm-hmm. it actually, in a weird way, takes away some of our freedoms.
Yeah.
Our ability to get things from other places and how fast can we get it, because now we got to wait on one supplier. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about freedom.
Yeah.
Take freedom seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in Denmark where you were banned from social media.
If you're under 15.
Yeah. You could be in Mexico where your cartel is illegal.
Or no, your cartel is running the show.
Yeah. Don't take their freedom from them. That was very sarcastic, by the way. All right. So we got a Drake and the Deacon show coming up, and then eventually we're going to get Ziggy and Coach back.
Yeah, we got to talk about next week because I can't do Monday because it's book tour time. I got new books coming out, so I got to go promote those. And we may have, if we can do another day, that'd be great. Otherwise, the Drake and the Deacon will be the only show we do next week. And hopefully we will also have Coach and Ziggy back.
Yeah.
So we've got to.
Well, before we go, I watched the Allen Iverson documentary, 3-part series on Amazon.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Who's Iverson?
Allen Iverson.
Basketball player?
The question, the answer?
No.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
I think the shortest guy to ever win MVP of the NBA. Played against Jordan in the finals and all this. Yeah, no.
I don't watch sports ball. I don't know.
Never won a title, but... Absolutely insane basketball player. Huh? Anyways, had a really, really rough life and went through a bunch of the stories. And I think most of the popular things about Iverson are all media kind of stuff. And this, you got to actually hear from his family and hear from him. And
oh, wow.
It was very interesting.
Okay. And that's on Amazon?
I believe it's Amazon Prime.
All right.
And worth a watch.
Okay.
Especially if you're a basketball guy. Right. I know you said sports are fake.
I said sports ball, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sports ball.
Well, we'll be back next week. Full show archive at briandrakebooks.com. Thanks for listening. And it's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.